Okay, welcome back. Okay. So I got a question. From Andy about what's the difference in programming on JupyterHub versus programming on a a normal computer. So one of the things we're using today with this JupyterHub is all these data files and everything that we show here, they are all saved in the cloud. So they're saved on a server that Unidata set up in Colorado. So these programs, this computer here is actually executing the code on this server in Colorado. It doesn't execute the code locally. So you can set up a JupyterLab locally and run the code there. Also the data files are stored remotely. So if you wanted to download these data files, you have to go and do a download of the data. So you can run JupyterLab and even JupyterHub locally, but we're not today. The one advantage for using the JupyterHub like we are today is everybody has the same Python libraries, the same version of Python. So I went through and I introduced a new Python 3, and when you start this up, you get a Python session. So it's a Python 3 with the same libraries installed, exactly the same configuration. So we don't have to worry about people having not installed some package for Python. If at the end, I will do an example how I would do the programming when I'm doing it locally. I usually just have a editor and log things into the editor. So just to give you a quick word of preview of that, if I can move my session here. I have a window back here. I can just type Python 3 and do print hello. So any of the commands and any of the stuff we do, you can do from a regular Python session, and you can write Python codes on your local computer. So you can run Jupyter notebooks locally also. And you can see you can store these easy to have access to the Jupyter notebooks that people have. The other thing that we'll start to use is this data directory here. If you go into that data directory, you should all have access to that. So we uploaded this data that we'll use in the sessions automatically. So then I don't have to give you the data, have you download it locally like we did before. And that probably saved us an hour not having to do the setup remotely on these files, uploading the data and stuff. So this is good, great Jupyter Notebooks and JupyterLab to do stuff in terms of training people, education. But when I do stuff on a computer, I'll write the programs and it allows me more automation when you have to write the programs. So again, I think it's great for teaching, and that's where it's really designed to do for teaching. But on a research environment, I wouldn't suggest using it in a production mode, instead using the editor. So an editor and just render code locally or on a computer. But the idea is not to is to teach and get this done quickly so that everybody can see the code, have access to the same code, have access to the same data. So if we do this for classes, for example, we could set up our own Jupyter hub at UND, or we could use Unidata as one. So pretty easy to do. And then basically I would suggest every class would have their own Jupyter hub. So there's a lot of advantages, particularly when you're remote, because everybody's different places. You don't have to have access to the UND network, for example. But it took me a while to get the data uploaded and get everybody into it. And also I have administrative access. So here's the people that are running servers right now. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, well, 14 different instances running. So it also won't work very well if you have heavy computer loads on this server. So I hope that answers the question. I need to get back to my tab where I had the example for that. And so the solutions for the radiance problem, I'll just put it in here for the solution so it's complete in the notebook. I showed you that, but let's go back to the radius one. Show the answer to that. And that's the values there. And then the code I ran here, maybe I'll just repeat that. And we'll talk about this a little bit. So does the print max of the length of the two values, does that run? So I guess it's the question of this, does this run? And you see that it does run and gives you an output. And so it's the maximum of the length of either poor or rich, being two different strings. But what is poor? Rich is 4 characters, so it give you that output. So anyway, I'll save that file. I think, is there any questions? You should be have the notebooks and everything else after the session. So with the break, come back to this, answer the question. I already took another 15 minutes, so we are now done with our coffee break. We want to talk about libraries, reading tabular data, and then pandas data frames. So how can we use software written by other people? How can we read data into data frames? And how can we do statistics on this data? So this is where we're going to start using this data that we have in the data hub for this. So we can do that and see how this works. So I'm going to go with a new notebook here for this late morning session and start talking about libraries and then how we can use these. So Why is tin printed? Good question. Tin is the maximum of rich and poor. So why is tin printed and not poor? Because it's alphabetical. And T-I-N. I think it's because of because maximum G is a lower value and T is higher in alphabetical order, so it does a maximum. It looks for the T and the G and gets the maximum. So I think someone answered that question. So good that you guys can answer and ask the questions. Okay, libraries. Why do programs create and use them? We want to explain that. Write programs that import libraries. Python, you have to use a lot of libraries, import a lot of different things. Very modular. Find and read documentation for libraries interactively. So most of the power in a programming language is in its libraries, its functions. So library is a collection of files called modules. You usually have these files that are all collections and you put them in one module. And it contains functions for use by other programs. So libraries are designed to be used by other programs. So the libraries can contain numerical constants. So libraries can both mix execution and data or constant values. So libraries, you try to put everything together that's similar. You try not to mix things that are too dissimilar, but there's really no way to enforce this in Python. So for example, for the aircraft stuff, we created a airborne data processing library to work with our data files for the aircraft in Python. So the so there are some standard libraries, and then there's some additional libraries that you can get. And part of it is getting the right libraries installed. And then you can start writing your own functions. So to load a library, you really need to do the import. So let's import math, for example, and that will import a library. The import loads that library into your computer's memory so it understands what's in that library. You refer to things by the module name and then dot the thing name or what it is that you really want to do. In Python, uses a dot to mean part of. So math is one of the modules in the standard library. So let's do some stuff with math. We usually import at the beginning and then you can print out something like pi. The PI here means math.pi. So PI is part of the math library. And then you can also do stuff like cosine of a function. So let's run them. You can see what pi is, gives you all the digits for pi, and then you can take the cosine of pi to get -1. And it comes out nice and evenly to do this. So you have to specify each version of the library, so like Math Pi and Math Cosine. You can't have a module inherit some name. So you can't just do like math.cosine PI and inherit that you have math, and you have to put the math.pi inside the function. It won't inherit it from the call. So we can have help, just type help and on the function math, and you'll see the math function, and then you see all the different functions parts in here. And so there's a lot of them that you can get. So there's a big long output. So a lot of times you might want to shorten up and not have available everything. So you can do something like from math import cosine and pi to just import them functions. And then you can, of course, still do the same function. But now we import it as cosine and pi. And I messed up because I don't have this bracket there. So cosine is minus one because we imported cosine and pi from the math functions and named them cosine and pi. So a lot of times you like to keep them math.cosine if you want. But if you wanted just to have a couple functions, you can do that. You can also import them as aliases. If you don't like to have math as such a long name, you can use an alias. Import math as M. So math is too long to type. You can do pi is M dot cosine M dot pi, and you get rid of some less typing, but then do you really remember what M is? So a lot of times it's, you can shorten them up, but don't be too short. So some of them are long, like matplotlib. People import them as PL or MPL to get the functions in there. So here's a question. If you can text me the answer to this, see if you can find out the answer to these two questions. What function from the math module so what function from the math module can you use to calculate a square root without using SQRT? And since the library contains this function, why does SQRT exist? So the square root function is what we want to look at. Is there multiple ways to do this in the math library? And so, and the answer is yes, but what other function besides SQRT can you use to take a square root? And why would you have two functions that basically do the same thing? So try to text me the answers. And then use the functions from the math library. There's other ways to do it too. So I got a couple of answers. So the idea you can do something like math, power, and then 4, 0.5. Maybe I can do this. Oh. I don't know why I can't. Oh, POW, sorry. Okay, so POW instead of ER, I'm shorting everything up. And so you can also do print math SQRT of 4, and that should work. SQRT is just a little bit more easier to know what it's doing than power is, where that's more general. So you can have multiple ways, and Python has lots and lots of ways to do different things. So you can do that. So we a lot of times just need to locate the right module, the right library to do something. So say you have base equals ACTT GCTT GAC, and you want to select a random character from this string. Which one would help you do this? How do we come up with this? And you can do a lot of different things for this. And if you're doing something like this, it's random, so you can just look at the random name for the data. So the idea is you can hit from you can import a random range and come up with the index values, you know, length of the base. So you just come up with the random index values for the base. And I have to spell, type my words right. And then we can print out the bases. And so you can do C, and then if I can go back up into this, and you can re-render your code multiple times if you just go back up and hit the shift enter again. And of course, you can put these together in one print statement. If you don't want to redefine the random index, you could just put this value within the random variable. So this random range is random sample that you could do this for. You could do from random import sample print sample basis 1, and then we can index the value to get C, and then of course I can go back and do multiple ones. So we have that all set up and working. Just making sure my recording is still on. Okay, we're recording the session. So we have everything going in here good. So here's an example. I'll try to do this a couple of times today. So I'll give you sections of code, and where these underlines are, I want you to write in what the code would be. So the idea here is this part of the code is what you should have. And then where you have underlines here, you should add the code. So if you want, text me these three lines of code of what you would have to do. So what would you put in here to come up with a value to rearrange the following statement so that a random DNA base is printed and it's indexed in strings. Not all statements may be needed. Feel free to use add intermediate values. So we want to come up with a random base. So these are DNA sequencing. A base is different numbers. And it says to rearrange them. I'll just give you a hint that the rearrangement is only the fact that you really need the imports at the beginning. And it would still work the way it was, but you should really import your data at the beginning. So what do we get for the to put in these couple of lines of code here. Would someone tell me what the answer would be? Anybody can give me the answer to what you should print in there. And if you get the first one done, I give you a second one here. To fill in the blank, so you print out 90 degrees for this code. Okay. End base. So one example here is if you try to run this code, you get end bases here, which isn't defined. So why don't we rearrange this code? I'll just copy it down here and change it around. So if we change this around so that we define end base is equal to the length of that. And bases equals to the length of that value, and then we come up with the an index value. So we'll just call this INX, and then we can do the indexing of IDX, and then the base index is IND IDX. And I have a problem. Print DX. There we go. Base is T, base index is 3. So that gives you a random one from this base. So idea was to come up with a random number. Let's see what I can do with the other code here. We want to come up with 90 here to print this out. And so we got to use math, which is imported as M. A lot better if you just use math. And then we're going to do pi again. So we need math here. And then print out the angle. Okay, so hopefully you see that math is easier to, it's only a couple of letters longer and you can really understand what it is better. Lots of different ways to import the libraries for this. So So here's a code. Try to identify without running this code what the error would be. So here's a code segment. So I want you to chat to me, identify the error from the login. What would the error be? And then if you, so try to chat me what you think the error would be in this, what it is and why you get an error. And then, so once you do that, then you can try to run the code and read what the error is and then tell me what type of error it will be. So where would the error be and what type? So remember the two types of errors is syntax error and runtime error. So of them two types, what is it? Is it a syntax error or runtime error? So X is only defined for values above zero. So it gives you a domain error, which is a runtime error. You get it when you run the program. It's not a syntax error because you entered and typed things correctly. So that's the, so math domain error, which means that you're outside the domain of which a function is valid. So key points here about libraries is most of the power of programming language is in its libraries. So idea is to get the right libraries that you need to use for your programs. You must import the libraries. You can get help on the libraries functions. You can import parts of the library. And if you don't like what the library is named, you can shorten it up, rename it to something else. But it's more readable if you keep the libraries themselves. So any questions about libraries? So no one's texting me any questions. So we'll keep going on. We got two more sections here to get through before lunch. We have read and tabular data and panda data frames. So we'll keep going in. Did you hear anybody pop up? So read and tabular data into data frames. How can I read tabular data? A lot of comma separated values, CSV files. We want to use and import the pandas library, use it to load a simple CSV file and get some basic information about the data frame that we create. Pandas is widely used Python library for statistics, particularly tabular data. So a lot of people have used tabular data in something like Excel. So this would be your example of your first jump from using Excel into Python programming, is to do something that you might be familiar with in Excel. It uses many of the features from the R data frames, if people use R statistical language. R and Python, very two very powerful languages now for science. And columns are, we use columns and rows for these data frames. And we're gonna use PD for pandas. We comma separate variables. So we want to start by importing pandas, and we're going to just use PD to shorten that up. And now this is where having this data in here is very important, that I have in here, because we're going to read the data file. This is a CSV data file, and I'm going to specify data minor. GDP, and then these are for gross domestic product for different countries. So I'm going to give it a name of the data file, and then I'm going to print out data. So make sure you have this data here, because that references underneath here, and we're going to read in this file called Oceana data file. So you can go back up here, and you should be able to import that, get the data frames in there, and then if you run this code, and of course I did it wrong, so I must have spelled the file name wrong.
Only one eye in Oceania.
Only one. Only one eye. What was that, Sean?
Only so the first eye in Oceania shouldn't be there.
Oh. Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Sean. Yeah, and Sean Cole, everybody. My type in. So if you import that, you should see what the data frame itself looks like. And you can see it's a continuation here. So countries, Australia, New Zealand, it's only two countries, and they got GDP per capita, 1952, and then it goes to 657, 62, and then it continues on. So it goes all the way up to 2007. So two countries, and then it has a lot of different values for the different years. So that's what the data is. And if you look at it, it's a comma separated data file. You may make sure you have this. And then you see the wraparound codes. This is a subdirectory. So data is a directory, and then the file is a subdirectory underneath that. Row headers are numbered 0 and 1 in this case. We can index by countries. So we can do a lot of different things. So let's do some indexing of the data. So we have data equals pandas read CSV. And we're going to index it by country. And of course, I spelled it wrong again. I want to print out data, but okay, I spelled it wrong again. Data mapper. Did I not get Oceanic right again?
GDP.
GDP. Yeah. I want to. There we go. GDP. So we index by the country that's given. So that's why we put this index in the columns of the data. So now you don't have the 0 and 1 here. You have the country as the index value, so that we can just put that in instead of having to remember 0 and 1. So now we created data here, which is our, and we can get more helpful information about that. We can type out data.info, no parameters in the function, and you can come up with different columns, what they are, floating point, 64 types of data, double precision floating point, with the Data Info Act. So it basically says this is a data frame. The two rows are Australia and New Zealand. There's 12 columns of data in here. You see the 0 to 11 and how much memory and stuff it takes. So we can get that imported into that. So we can do other things. Show all the columns of the data that are given. And then we can do a transpose of the data frames. So print data T just for transpose to change it around. So instead of having the countries around here, we flip around the columns and rows. We can get some statistics on the data very easily. So let's print out data describe. And we can see the number of counts. We can get means for the two. So this is going to every country. You know, what the mean is, what's the standard deviation, minimum, maximum, the percentiles of 25, 50, 75. So these are your standard statistics for the data. So here's the question I'd like you to do. So let's read in, and maybe I'll just copy and paste it. I want you to read in a different data file. Okay. Call that an into variable called Americas. So write the code, read that data in, text me got it or thumbs up when you get this to work to read in that data file. It's in the data directory again. So you should read this Americas data file in and see if you can look at that. Oops, scroll back a little bit. It's hard to scroll back too much. Describe, you got to use. Here's your hint. Okay, so we're reading pandas data in. Here's your example. And I want you to read in the Americas data. So if you didn't get it, this the solution to read in the data. We can inspect the data by using a couple different commands. Like Americans.head. Look at the beginning of the data file and I could spell this right. There we go. You can do head to get the first five values. Likewise, you can do the tail to get the ending data. To get some of the other data here, if I move this back over here, you'll see more of the data. And then if you don't like the numbers that they give you, you can actually put a parameter in here and just get three or a number of head and tail values, which are kind of Unix commands a lot of times to get the output of the data. You can flip around and create a new data set if you don't like the rows and columns. By using the transpose of the data. And then you can do so you can flip the data and then add a tail to the data to see now, you know, you have the last 3 years of data because we flipped it around. And then you see all the different countries in the Americas. And of course, you know, we just flipped it around, so you could put them together too and just say America. So you can be more explicit when you're just starting to learn. And of course, I don't So let's see if we can do one more example here of how would you write a function out. So how would you create a data file out from this? Someone text me the command to write out data. How would you find how to write the data? So what would you use to write a data function? And if you can write it into the .data/data, if you want to write it into that directory. If you don't, it goes in the directory above. So it's probably best to try to write it into the function. So I don't want my launcher above here to write it into this data frames. And remember, help is your is useful. I get a few answers. The command is to write it process CSV, or you could do or you could put the slash data in there to output it to that. If you put the slash data, you'll see that the CSV file gets created. And then if you put it in here, it should have been created in here too. And if you want, you can just delete that file if you don't want it. So that's how you create the files. So the idea of Pandas is a library to do basic statistics on tabular data. Use the index colon to specify the column of values to use for a row. Should be used as a row header. Data frame info is useful. Data frames are columns. Data frame T to transpose the data, and data frame scribe. So there's really, you know, four different methods to the data frame. So that would be data frame.info we talked about, data frame.columns, data frame.t, and data frame.describe. So each one of these, this is the name of the data frame that you read the data into. And then you have these methods that you can apply to that data frame. Info, columns, and transpose, and describe the data. So that's the summary of what we have for that. Any questions about data frames? Very useful for using Pandas to do that. So, any questions? I'll pause. No questions. Okay. Last section now before lunch. We're going to go back to more Pandas data frames for this. So the idea, we want to do some statistics, look at the data, and do some more sophisticated manipulation of the data frames, subset the data in rows and columns into a single value, because after lunch we're going to start plotting this up. So please come back after lunch, and the exciting part is the plotting of this data. But first we need to be able to subset the data using masks and Boolean operations. So so basically, the data frame that we have is a representation of a table, a series in data structures. It's represented as a column. So the data frame is a table, and the series is one column of the data. Pandas is built on another very popular library called NumPy. So most of the methods that you can use on NumPy arrays also work on data series and data frames. So we have powerful interactions to the different records the individual values within the data frame. So so we want to know how to select these values in terms of a I comma j value into the data frames. We can use the ILocate to select values by the entries. So let's do some more importing of the data. So import pandas as PD again. And we're going to create a new data value, read it with CSV again, data GDP. We're going to go to Europe now to read in that data file. And we're going to put the index value in here. Okay, and then we're going to print this out. And we're going to print out just some of the data. And we'll use a function to print out the 0,0 value of this data frame. So if we do that, you should be able to get 1601, which is the value at 0,0. So this is analogous to a two-dimensional version of a character where you're indexing the rows and columns of the data. So what's nice about Python is you can really index them not just by the zeros and one, but by what we call a dictionary key. So the actual value of the data. So let's try to print it out and do a print of the data. And now instead of saying I, we just use LOC and specify a couple of the parameters, 1952. And I gotta get, you can use either quotes or open, single quotes or double quotes to specify these, but you have to make them match. So now instead of using 0,0, we specify the country and the GDP year by the dictionary entry, the dictionary key that accesses the data. So these are what they call keys, which are a little bit easier to work with than the zero and ones. So now we can start talking about slicing the data. So if you want to do a slice of the data, we can print out data LOC, and we have an array index here. So if we want to put in a colon, that means to give us all the data that's contained. And of course, I didn't specify the capital A. So instead of just putting the year, as one key, I can just put the colon and I get the whole 12 of these, or however many there are, in there. So the colon is kind of like, give me everything. It's this data slice notation. So you could do the opposite too. Instead of doing the number at the end or the key at the end, you can print the other location, do colon, and then get the GDP. I just use single slice, single parentheses. Okay, and so now we can get the 1952 year and all the different countries that are given. So we're slicing the data up that way. You can also do multiple columns of data. Man, what did I spell wrong this time? Oh, need a comma in here. Gotta put a comma in there, not a colon. So now you can specify a range of countries and a range of years if you want to slice the data that way. So one of the other things that's unique here is that the slicing includes the last column. So it does include Poland, you know, because we're going from Italy to Poland, and it does include that. So Pandas is inclusive, not exclusive of both ends of the data, where before we saw that it was exclusive of the end of the data. We can use these data to do some type of operations on them. So just like we had the data here given, I just copy and paste this back in here. Let's add in a max value of these. So we can put that in, use the maximums for these. Likewise, you can do minimum. Likewise, you can also do assign the subset. So instead of just saying, we can do data.locate. And we could create a new data frame that's a subset. So we can create the subset variable, put it as a data frame and come into that data frame itself. And then we could also do some operations on this. And if we wanted to subset the data, we could do something like just print values where the subset is greater than 10,000, for example. So now you get a true and false answer for the values. Subset. So that will give you a, these values are the values, and then this is if the result is greater than 1,000. So you can see false, false, true on the values. So this gives us what is a very powerful use, because we can do what we call a mask on these true and false. So we can create subset greater than 1,000 and create the mask. And then we can, just to show you what this is, print subset of the mask. And so now when you apply that mask to the data, you get not a number for the ones that are false. If the value is true, you get that value, but not a number if it's false. And then this is very useful because in Python, not a number is ignored with operations like min, max, average, and stuff. So you can put them in there. And so to me, it's like a missing value code. So not a number or a missing code. I think about this as more of a missing value code than not a number. So you can exclude them from your array. So the means are useful because you can come up with a high mask and apply that to countries that are wealthy. So for example, a mask higher can equal to data greater than data mean to give you a value of a mask, and then you can print out the wealthy score equals mask higher okay, if I spell score right, you can see which ones are higher than this per year. You know, how many times are they above your mask for the total number of years? So you get some fractions that are not in there every year. But some countries like Austria are in there every year, so you get this ratio. So you can do some math on that. And you can see how well they do. Try data group by wealth. So there, we can group the data, put what the scores are, and you can see the values of the data. Okay, so let's go back. I give you the two commands here for the Python. We import the data into a data frame. For Europe, we call it DF. So here's a question for everybody to work on. So what we want to know is write a expression that gets you the per capita for Siberia in 2007. So the output should be 9786.5347. So write that expression and see if you can text that to me. So, try writing an expression to get this out. So, okay, I'm getting some answers. Okay, I think I got the answers given here. Should be. Like that. Make sure you. So there we go. We get the number out, right? To get the output of how we slice the data. Okay, so here's a quick question. Yes or no, text me or thumbs up for a yes and thumbs no for a no. Do the following two lines of these commands, do they produce the same output? So tell me yes they do or no they don't. Either with the checkbox or in it or sending it to me. Okay, yes or no? I've got one message. Okay. Do they produce the same output? A couple more answers so I can get a statistics here. Anybody else want to give me an answer? Yes or no? Okay. There we go. Now I have 50-50 between yes and no. So if I do the code, you'll see that the first one only gives you 4, where the second one gives you a 3x3, 9 elements. So they don't produce the same. The second one includes the additional column and additional row compared to the first. So the numerical slice omits the final index of 2. So the 2 is omitted here, whereas not when you do the key values. So if you put in the 0 to 2, and you don't use the dictionary numbers, you get a different answer for this. So we have that. Okay, here, see if you could figure out what these two lines of code do. Can you text me what you think the following code lines do? Send me a text to tell me, just run the code and see if you can text me what the MX min and MX MIDX and IDX min, IDX max do. So we read the data in, and then what do the min and maximum functions here do? And when would you use them? So what do they do? So try to explain it, not what the values are, but what are they giving you? Okay, I got a bunch of answers for what this is. Let's see if I can just do this myself. So I printed out the data. The idea is IDX min and IDX max, they're actually giving you the index values. So they're not actually giving, they're giving you the countries, but these are index values. These are the values that you would get for the minimum maximum for these different years, for the minimum and the maximum. So it's kind of the country's names, but it's actually index values, which are more useful than just the numbers. And if you want, you use these when you want to index rows. You want the index of the one with the minimum and maximum value. So it is a country name, but really what they're giving you is index values. So. With that, we're almost at 12:30 here, 2 minutes. So I'll leave up some practice if you want for after lunch. And I'll put this up for some practice of what you can do if you can come back from lunch early. Is assume pandas has been imported. data from Europe has been voted. Write an expression to select each of the following: the cap, the per capita for all countries in 1982, the capita for Denmark, the GDP per capita for countries for all years after 1985, and the per capita for each country in 2008 multiplied by the GDP per capita for that year. So try to figure these out, and then you can go to lunch, and I will leave the screen share up. We come back at 1 o'clock, and so please come back and we can do the plotting of the data after lunch. So very important to learn how to plot up the data. So we got, how do we plot the data? How can we store multiple values? So plotting the data, using lists, loops, and conditionals after lunch. And so we'll go from 1 to 3, take a break at 3, and then come back and go from 3:15 to 5 for the afternoon session. So I will stop there. If anybody wants, you can chat private with me and stuff, and I'll be around after I get over to lunch myself. So any questions, any comments? Anybody want to do this before lunch? Okay. I'll leave this up and I will stop my my audio and my video now.